journey into the Bible and explore its hidden text and rich wisdom. Join Adil Kazilski Mondays at 1 p.m. for the trip of a lifetime.
Shavua Tov, and welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. I'm Adil Kazilski, and I'm going to be learning Torah with you for the next 3/4 of an hour. I invite you to join me, ask questions, comment. 34519 is our SMS line. 061-895-1019 is our Telegram number. We began last week to discuss the fourth commandment of the Torah, which is the commandment around Shabbos. Actually, not last week, the week before, when it was actually by divine providence, the week that we were going to have the Shabbos project. And we were starting to look at the verses in the Ten Commandments that talk about Shabbos. And we actually just really dissected the first line, which is Zachor et Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoy, that you should remember the Shabbos and sanctify it. And we spoke now that last week and that week and this last week on what does it mean to sanctify Shabbos. Ultimately, we said there are four acts that we sanctify the Shabbos with, meaning that we make it holy, that we make it separate. And those are the acts of Kiddush, of Havdalah, of saying a special paragraph in grace after meals, and then, of course, of adding from the mundane into the holy. If you missed any of that discussion, please feel free to go back into our podcasts and you will be able to see something over there. Right. I'm going to continue on because the verse doesn't just say Zachor et Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshoy. It does continue. It's the first time that one of the Ten Commandments is actually elucidating or going further. And it reads as follows. Sheshet yamim ta'avod ve'asita kol melachtecha. You will work for 6 days and you will do all your tasks. Uv'yom hashvi shabbat l'Hashem elokecha. The seventh day will be for Hashem your God. Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. You will not do any work. Ata, you, vincha, and your son, ubitecha, and your daughter. Avdecha ve'amatcha, your slave and your maid. As well as your animal and the foreigner in your garden or in your gates. So I wanted to start on those two verses and elucidate a little bit more around that so that we can understand what does all of this mean. And just it will finish up. At the end, it will say, Ki sheshet yamim asah Hashem et ha-shamayim v'et ha-aretz, because for 6 days God made heaven and earth, et ha-yam v'et kol ha-shebam, sea and everything in it, u'b'yom v'yanach b'yom ha-shvi, he rested on the seventh day, al-kein berach Hashem et yom ha-shabbos v'yekachehu, therefore God blessed the Shabbos and made it holy. Now, these three sentences opens up a mountain of discussion around Shabbos. And obviously that which I'm going to discuss today is not exhaustive at all. It's literally the tip of the iceberg. Second of all, I do want to give a disclaimer that the laws of Shabbos are very, very complicated. There are many, many derivatives and understandings and applications. I am not a rabbi and I'm not giving you psak halacha. I am not giving you the law, and you take it that I, because I said it, you do it. Please, will you always consult an Orthodox rabbi? If there is something that you do not understand, anything that I am discussing is just giving you a taste, an understanding of how Shabbos really, really works. And I want to start the concept off with the idea that is said over here in verse 9 of chapter 20 of the Torah. Sheshet yamim tavod v'asita kol melachtecha. 6 days you should work and you should do all your tasks. So the very first thing that we get to understand from this is that although here the fourth commandment is commanding that we do not work on the Shabbos, God is telling us the corollary. And what is the corollary? Corollary is Sheshis yamim tavod vasita kol melachtecha. That for 6 days you need to work and finish all your tasks. Meaning, we need to develop the habit of working. We can't remain idle. We can't remain lazy. If we obviously do not work the entire week, on Friday you will have no money to buy food or even to spend for Shabbos. And this is a fundamental concept in the world per se, and really spoken about a lot in Judaism. And it comes all the way back to when Adam was created, because we know that even when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, which we metaphorically take as like, this is like the bliss place, you know, the kind of, if we put it into modern, a modern idea, it's kind of like us closing eyes and thinking that we're somewhere on a beach in the Maldives with, you know, pina colada and with not a care in the world, with all the money in the world, with everything that we have. Life isn't like that. Life is a task. Life is a paradigm in which we are demanded to work, to engage, to bring our skill, to bring everything that we have in order to elevate the world. And in fact, we see it with Adam, because when God puts Adam in the Garden of Eden, what does he say? God puts him in, you can look at it as a verse, chapter 2, verse 15. He says, to lo'avdecha, to let it work, and to watch it, which means that even Adam in the Garden of Eden had to keep the commandments. He had to act like a gardener. He had to work the garden. Only afterwards did God go and say, from all the trees of the garden you may eat. So it's obvious in the synchronicity of the verses, one can pick up that one first has to work and watch it, and then you can eat it. Meaning Adam could not do his appointed task unless, I mean, he had to do all his appointed tasks, and then he could land up eating. And in fact, there is comment in the Gemara that idleness is a prime cause then to mental illness. And this is a very, very big discussion and something that I'd love your feedback on. How do you feel when a person doesn't have a purpose, when a person doesn't have a goal, when a person doesn't have meaning in life and know that they are here, important, needing to go and garden their piece of the world that God has given them? That's when people fall into depression and lack of motivation, and it comes with a whole host of psychological and negative stuff that comes into our lives because we do not know what we are doing here. Why are we here? And God gives us the answer here. Sheshet yamim tavod va'asita kol melachtecha. For 6 days you have to work and tend to God's world. What is your purpose in this world? Well, it's for you to answer, because God has created each and every human being uniquely. You are alive today because you are a unique human being, and you have got what is needed in order to fix up, create, give influence to something that there is in this world. And we are commanded that 6 days out of the 7 days, we're commanded to indulge in that practice of going out and making this world a better place and changing this world. We'd love to know what you feel about that. And you know, do you find that your work, your whoever you are, your job, your identity, is it linked to a why you are created? Or are you like doing things in a numb fashion and not really feeling too motivated around the fact that there is much to do in this world and much to change? We'd love to know your feelings on it. 34519 is our SMS line. 0618951019 is our Telegram number.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
We are talking all about Shabbos, and we're talking about that in 6 days, God tells us we need to work, and only on the seventh day can we rest. Let's talk about the sixth day and what it is that we need to do. Now, again, every single verse in the Torah can be expounded forever and ever. It's got such an incredible amount of depth. So not only is this verse telling us that we are obligated, okay, are obligated to go and do what it is that we have to do and work so that on the seventh day we can rest. It's also an important spiritual lesson because we do believe that this world is a world of doing and we are going to reap the benefit of it in the world to come, that this is the world of opportunity, of growth, of extension, of engagement. And so one of the ideas of that you need to serve for 6 days, the word that we use is ta'avod. Ta'avod comes from the word avad. And avad is used many, many, many times because we say that you should serve Hashem, your God. We use the word avadatem. So ta'avod, work the 6 days. Avadatem, serve Hashem, your God, means that we should be very, very cognizant of the fact that we work in this world for the world to come. And how do we work in this world for the world to come? We all know how to work in this world so that we can get a better bank balance, how we can get a better car, house, family, financial freedom, whatever it is that we work for in this world. How do we work for the world to come? And the answer is that we need to serve Hashem, avadatem. We need to serve Hashem, which means that we need to have God in our lives every single day. For men, it's the davening, shacharit, mincha, and maariv. Women can do that. That is also great to set aside time to study Torah, to try to set some time before you go to work, set some time after you go to work, set time to connect with God on a daily basis, to go out and do mitzvahs that will be a depositing into a spiritual bank account that will benefit us in the world to come. So this Sheshet Yamim Ta'avod, you should work for 6 days. The working part is really talking about Ba'avadatem, that you need to serve God. So we've got to make sure that not all our work in this world is self-serving. There is a balance. Hashem allows us to partake of his world, just like he allowed Adam to partake of the Garden of Eden. And all of that, but he needs to also go and explain to us that, I mean, not explain to us, he also needs to give us the ability to prepare ourselves for the world to come. So that is a second idea. The third idea is that we take the verse, the serve the 6 days, Sheshet Yamim, you should serve 6 days and do all your work to go and explain that this is in fact talking about a person's life. That we know, it says in Tehillim, that a man's life is 80 and 10, which means that the average life of a person is 70 years. 6 days thou shalt work is really referring to the 6 decades of one's life from the time one is born, probably until the time one tips over into becoming a grandparent and starting to retire. We know that there is a lot of talk around 65 and 70 for people to start slowing down, even though I have to say parenthetically that this is not a Jewish concept. Nevertheless, it says that we should work for 6 days and do all our work, and then we can enjoy Shabbos. Which means Shabbos after the 70th year, if we are blessed to live many, many more years, and may we all be blessed to live to 120, those are Shabbos years. Those are years where we reap the reward of everything that we've done. And again, being cognizant of the fact that in fact, We need to work for 60 years. One of the interesting ideas, though, is that Torah does not believe in retirement. We do not believe people must and should retire, not to say that you need to continue, perhaps in the very hard way that we work for the first 60 years of our life, six decades of our life. But nevertheless, even in our older age, we have much to contribute to the world, much to discover, much to learn, much to do. I mean, you look at the people that are running the world right now, President Trump and Putin and Netanyahu, and the majority of these guys are guys that are sitting in their 70s and they're at the peak of their careers because they're coming with a tremendous amount of life's opportunities and challenges and knowledge and understanding of what it is that can be done to the world to make this world a better place. So while the Torah does say for 6 days you shall work and you need to serve and do all your work, the bottom line is that this is vitally important. To understand that while we put in the 6 decades of our work into probably establishing who we are and what we do, it really comes when it comes into our sabbatical years that we've got a tremendous amount more that we can give. And what we reap then is we've got a very, very a big responsibility to give back to the world. So no retirement, no sitting there, because idleness then does lead to mental illness. And that is one of the modern illnesses that we have, unfortunately, is that when people get old, they get retired, they don't have any purpose anymore in their lives. They're relegated sometimes to old age homes or to places where they feel unbelievably lonely and are living a very unproductive life. So this is another idea that we get from working the 6 days and relaxing on the seventh. I want to share with you a story that I heard, I think a couple of months ago, which really, really spoke about the power of Shabbos, okay? And really how it's, there is a saying that says, more than the Jews have kept Shabbos, Shabbos has kept the Jews. And I've got two stories, one to show you how Shabbos has kept the Jews and how the Jew has kept the Shabbos. So let's start with how the Jew kept the Shabbos. There was a well-known story that happened recently, I think in the last couple of years, of a very high-powered businessman in New York who was involved in a lot of very hectic real estate deals, business deals. He was surrounded by a board of people. Legal guys and financial advisors and secretaries and you name it, he had it, and he just wheeled and dealed all the time and was highly, highly, highly successful. Anyway, there was a building that came onto the market. If I recall from the story, it was like in the hundred millions of dollars, the deal. And he was being pressurized by the sellers to conclude a deal, and he had his team negotiating and drafting out the sale of agreement and really, really working hard to try bring this deal to a closure. And it was coming towards the end of the week, and he said to his guys, "Remember, I have a rule. It comes midday on Friday, which we then will relegate and we can call Erev Shabbos." He says, "I don't do any more work. So if you want this deal to come through and you want things signed, please make sure that everything is in place and everything is done before 12 o'clock Friday lunchtime." Anyway, they worked exceedingly hard for like the Wednesday night and through the Thursday, and through the Thursday night, they were burning the midnight oil and Friday. There were a we're going to sign it, and round about 11 o'clock on Friday, they realized that they should put in, I think it was one more thing in the agreement, or take out one thing in the agreement, or change something in the agreement, but like a tweak. So they didn't get this high-powered Jewish businessman to sign. They went back to their offices to draw it up, and they came to him 12:30 or 12:45, and they said, "It's all done. Put your signature on it." And he said, "I'm sorry, I'm not. I told you I only work until 12 on Friday for 6 days a week. I do all my work. It's now Erev Shabbos, and Shabbos is far more important than anything else. I'm not signing it." He received a lot of flack, a lot of pressure, a lot of begging, a lot of pleading. They said, "Please, just all you have to do is sign the agreement. Like, we've been working so hard. Everybody's been so pressurized. Everybody's like put their lives on the line to get this done. You just need to sign it." Like the seller is adamant that we sign it before the weekend. The guy went and said, "I'm sorry." And in fact, if I remember correctly from the story, he used to have a chair at his desk where he used to sit and work. And when 12 o'clock Erev Shabbos would come, he would get up from that chair, and he had another chair in his office, which was far more comfortable. He would move to that chair. He would then spend his time Erev Shabbos learning some Torah, preparing himself for Shabbos. So he was sitting in this other chair, his Shabbos chair. And come what may, didn't matter how much convincing, who was trying to tell him, he didn't listen to anybody. He said, "I'm not signing it. It's after 12 o'clock. I do not do business Erev Shabbos." Needless to say, everybody left completely disappointed, and the deal wasn't signed. On the Monday, something came about that actually showed that it was probably a bad deal to sign. I cannot remember all the details, if they found something wrong in the building or something that was not correct, but they would have been really upset, and it would have been a huge mistake to have signed the deal. And those that had pressurized this Jewish businessman, Erev Shabbos, came back with the tail between their legs, to say that they were amazed at his steadfastness not to sign the document, and that in fact, by him giving the kavod, by making Shabbos holy, by knowing 6 days you work, but then there comes a point in time where you draw a line in the sand and you stop working, that Shabbos actually guarded him, and he was saved from a very bad deal. That's the one story I wanted to share with you. Another is a story amongst many stories that happened in the Lower East Side when it was the day, the years of the Depression, and afterwards, where many Jews fled from Europe and they came to America to try get a better life, to live a better life. And as we know, that many arrived at Ellis Island. They changed their names, they threw off their Jewish garb, they wanted to just have nothing to do with Judaism, particularly because of all the harassment that they had in Europe. And very few people came with the same religious fervor that they had in Europe. One such family, there was a father who worked, but he once still wanted to keep Shabbos. Shabbos was very important to him, and he used to tell people up front, "I don't work on Shabbos." Okay, and inevitably every Friday he was fired from his job because they needed a workforce, and if the guy didn't comply, he was just out. And so he went from job to job to job to job, being thrown out every Friday because he refused to work on Shabbos. One time, his wife said, "Just don't tell them that you don't work on Shabbos. Just work the whole week." Anyway, it came the end of the week and he got his paycheck and he was expected to come to work on Shabbos. And he was under so much pressure from the rest of his family to put money on the table and to do what he had to do. He didn't even tell them that he was going to negotiate with them. Shabbos morning came and he left the house. He didn't tell his family that he wasn't going to go and report to work. He just went to walk the streets so that he would be relieved of the pressure of his family, that he needs to do what his boss wants him to do, and at the same time, just not go to work. Anyway, he wandered the streets for many, many hours, and round about 2 or 3 in the afternoon, he plucked up the courage to go back home, hoping that he would just not escape. He would escape the wrath of his family. When he walked through the door, his family were aghast to see him. They were crying. They were hugging him. They were so excited to see him, and he was going like, "Hello, what's going on?" And he replied that he said, "Why are you so upset? What's going on?" And what actually had happened was the factory that he worked in actually caught fire on Saturday morning, went up in flames, and many, 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 many people lost their lives. And the news spread, the family heard about it, and they knew that he went to work. And they were sitting there mourning, crying that they had pressurized him to break Shabbos and go to work just this time. And now that they had lost they had lost his life. And then he told them that he actually still did keep Shabbos, and he just left the house to mind the pressure, and that he just walked the streets. He didn't go back to his work. They realized how much Shabbos had saved him. The fact that he stuck to his guns and that he had kept the Shabbos saved him from going to work on that day and being burnt in a terrible, massive fire. So more than we have kept the Shabbos has kept us, and we are obligated to be involved in this world for 6 days every single week. And then comes 26 hours, which we call Shabbos, which is our treasure, where we stop. And Shabbos envelops us in a protective cloud, where it's time for us to give ourselves off completely to Hashem, to our family, and to re-energize ourselves so that we can start a new cycle of 6 days you shall work.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
Okay, so I think that we've all got an idea of the fact that we have to work, that it's important to work, that this is really part of our purpose, is that we have a why in this world, that Hashem gave all of us talents and abilities, and each and every single one of us is a worker in this great, great big world. Once Hashem says, that you will work for 6 days, what does he say after that? The seventh day is a Shabbos, it's a day of rest to Hashem, your God. What are we commanded there? Lo ta'aseh kol melachah. You're not allowed to do work. And we are going to start the definition of melacha, work. Well, what type of work am I not allowed to do? But before we do that, understand it says, Ata, you, ubincha, your son, ubitecha, your daughter, avdecha, your servant, ve'amatcha, your maidservant, uvhemtecha, and your animal, ve'gercha asher bisharecha, and the foreigner that is in your land. Which means that Shabbos is not something that you take on personally. And then you can have a plethora of people, of animals, of doing work for you. When Shabbos comes, you stop, your family stops, your business stops, your work stops, everything around you stops. You cannot derive any benefit from anything that is yours or that you have abrogated the responsibility to other people. Now, again, the halakha is complex. There are situations where it is permissible. If, for example, you're the owner of a hospital and the hospital has to be open up on Shabbos and it has to work and it does bill, etc., etc. There are other times where certain industries that cannot close down on a Shabbos, please consult an Orthodox rabbi. There are ways and means of bringing in certain halachic dispensations so that you can not derive benefit from that which happens on Shabbos. But as a general rule, okay, you can't watch TV on Shabbos, nor can you go and say to your non-Jewish housekeeper, please switch on the TV or do the washing or the laundry when you're not allowed to. This, you're not allowed to work on Shabbos, Lo Ta'avod, that you're not allowed to work. This is something that applies to Lo Ta'aseh Melacha, sorry, it applies to absolutely everybody that is in your sphere of influence. Now, the Lo Ta'aseh Melacha, you're not allowed to do any melacha, any work on Shabbos, now opens up the discussion of what does it mean to work. And this is something that is we discuss a lot when it comes to to Shabbos, because many people go and argue that, for example, me sitting and watching a Netflix movie on Shabbos is not work. Me flipping a light switch on Shabbos is not work. Okay, so you're telling me that I can't, put a heavy couch on my shoulders. Okay, that I won't do. But I really do not see that, relaxing is something that I can't do. And I find it relaxing. Let me switch on the light. Let me put on the air con. Let me put my feet up and let me watch a Netflix movie. Why can't I do that on Shabbos? And the answer, truthfully, is while those are forbidden, probably putting a heavier sofa on the back of your shoulders is allowed on Shabbos with limitations. So we need to understand what the concept of melacha is. And it's a discussion that, again, one can wax eloquent on. And again, I'm only giving you a preview and giving you a generalized understanding of what it means. Essentially, melacha, is anything that is constructive and creative work. Okay? Something where you are engaging the world and you're causing the world to change because of that engagement. Now, on what basis do we base the melachas, the work categories that we're not allowed to do? Well, there are 39 of them, and they were based on forbidden work that one was not allowed to undertake when building the Mishkan in the desert. Okay, there were 39 acts, constructive acts of taking produce, taking material, and changing them and making them into something else. So the basis of the forbidden Shabbos works is in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah categorizes 39 categories of Shabbos work. Now, I'm going to read them to you, but in reading them to you're going to see that you will probably say to yourself, this has nothing to do with me because I'm not a farmer. Or I don't live in the 12th century. I live in the 21st century. Nevertheless, what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we're going to go through each and every single one of these melachot, of these work categories, understand it in its fundamental, which is called the Av Melacha, the Father Melacha, the main Melacha, and then we are going to go and understand the Toladot, the offspring of it, and the derivatives of it, which we'll eventually come to understand why we can't switch on a light switch on Shabbos or get into a car or watch Netflix And you will see that there are derivatives of these 39 fundamental categories of work. So let me just quickly read them to you so you can understand, and then we'll use that as a basis, to understand next week. There's planting, plowing, reaping, harvesting, threshing, winnowing, selecting, grinding, sifting, kneading, baking, shearing wool, whitening it, dyeing it, spinning, warping, making two slips, weaving two threads, unraveling two knots, knotting, untying, sewing two stitches, tearing in order to sew two stitches, trapping a deer, slaughtering it, skinning it, salting it, tanning its skin, scraping it, cutting it, writing two letters, erasing in order to write two letters, building, demolishing, extinguishing, igniting, striking with a hammer, and carrying out from one domain to another. So those are all the categories that are called the 39 Melachot and form the basis of what we cannot do on Shabbos. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
Okay, just one idea before we part ways, and that is this, that when the Jews were in Egypt, they had to serve the Egyptians through all the 39 categories that I've just told you. How do we know? Because it says that the Egyptians made the Israelites work, beperech. Beperech is translated with rigor. Now, one of the ways that we look at Torah is through the numerical value of the Hebrew letters, or we go and take the word and we go through a system called Atbash. Atbash is where each letter in the alphabet is replaced with the letter in the alphabet in reverse order, meaning an Aleph, which is the first letter, will be replaced by the last letter, a Taf. The Bet, second letter, will be replaced by the letter Shin, which is the second last letter. So if we take the word perech, okay, and we use the methodology of Atbash, it gives us a word Vav Gimel Lamed. Now Vav Gimel Lamed has a numerical value of 39. We've got Lamed, which is 30, Gimel, which is 3, Vav, which is 6. And so when we understand that the Israelites worked beperech with rigor, it means that they were forced to work all 39 melachot, all 39 basic forms of work. And that's why all the time when we keep Shabbos and we're making Kiddush, we use the words Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. This is in remembrance of the coming out of Egypt. Why? Because we were subjugated to the 39 melachos of work all the time for 210 years. And it was rigorous work. We never, ever, ever had a break. And Shabbos was the antidote to that. Shabbos, we remember the coming out of Egypt because then God freed us from the shackles of being involved in the world all the time. And he allowed us to have a day of communion with him every single Shabbos. So that's going to end our discussion today. Please God, from next week, I'm going to try going through the Av Melachos really quickly over the next couple of weeks so that you just get an inkling, an understanding of the complexity, the beauty of Shabbos, and why when we keep Shabbos properly, you feel like you're in the Maldives every single week. So don't go away. Stay tuned to 101.9 Chai FM, and I'll see you same time, same place next week.